Good morning. Welcome to Focus. It's our morning talk show. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. In just a second here, we'll be talking about cameras and photography with Brian Johnson. He's professor of journalism here at U of I, and off and on over the years, he's been here a number of times to talk about cameras and photography and the technique of taking pictures and how things have changed as more and more people are taking pictures digitally. So we'll be open to whatever questions you have. Maybe you're thinking about buying a new camera or you're looking at apps let you do things with your photos. Any and all of that are certainly welcome. I do want to take a moment here also to encourage you to make a call of support to this station, this program, and everything else that you listen to. And here's the number. It's not the number to call in on the show. It's a different number. It's 244-9455, okay? Or you can go online if you like. Go to our pledge site. That's willpledge.org. This is a listener-supported station. We don't have commercials, and one of the great things for me doing this program for a long time is we don't have commercials. I can have these long, deep conversations with people about big issues and big questions, and I don't have to stop every few minutes to say, hold that thought, we'll be right back after this message. We don't do that. But the reason that we do it that way is that folks like you who listen support the station with your dollars. That's what you're doing when you're calling in or going online and making a contribution. You're helping to pay just a little bit of the cost of keeping the station on the air, keeping us strong, and keeping programs like Focus and Morning Edition and All Things Considered and Afternoon Magazine and the Market Reports and everything else that you expect to be there when you turn on the radio. Right now, we're raising the money that will pay for next year's programming. It's kind of hard to believe that year is almost over, and we're about halfway through our fiscal year, and we have set a big goal. We're hoping that we can raise $500,000 in the month of December. Now, that sounds like a lot, but we don't do that just with a $500,000 pledge. We do that with your pledge of 20 or 50 or 75 or 120. You know, maybe some people could actually say, I listen every day, and I would pledge a dollar a day. Well, okay. That's a $365 pledge. Whatever will work for you, you can make that decision. The important thing is that we count you as a supporter of the station, and you stand up and be counted right now by calling us at 217-244-9455 or go to willpledge.org. We're very happy to have back here in studio with us once again Brian Johnson. He's professor of journalism in the College of Media at the U of I, worked as a photographer for the News Gazette for a number of years, so has been a pro, and then for probably longer than that has been teaching in journalism, teaching photojournalism, and he and I have talked here about cameras on this show for a long time, going back to the days of film. Remember film, kids?
I do.
Film. He does. He remembers film. Do you still shoot film now?
Why?
Well, maybe that would be a question. Is there? I'm sure there are probably some people. Who
some
still
people still do,
do.
But
yeah.
I'm not sad to see film gone. Honestly.
So. All right. Well, whatever you're doing out there, if you are a hobbyist, maybe you're a pro, whatever kind of camera questions you have, maybe you're thinking about buying a camera and you're confused and there are lots and lots of alternatives and some different things you can think about, call us and take advantage of Brian's experience. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. You can also send us an email if you want to do that. That's willtalk@illinois.edu. So okay, so you decided that you're going to buy a camera.
Right.
And you go down to the big box store or you go to online or wherever it is.
Right.
And I don't know now, everybody makes digital cameras and they have a big range of models and there are all these features and zooms and megapixels and who knows what all else. So how do you try to sort through all of that?
Right. Well, that's really what's happened in the market is that it's been expanding for a while, but then there's a whole new line of enthusiast cameras that are also called mirrorless cameras. So they're mm-hmm. kind of in between a point and shoot and a digital SLR. They're kind of right in the middle as far as quality of image and all that. So it's exploded. I mean, all the way from a $59 digital camera all the way up to $6,000, $10,000. It's just there's an incredible range. It's almost to the point where you could almost consider some of the cameras to be just consumables or You know, I mean, I hate to say that because I like to recycle and I don't like to waste things. But, you know, if you pay, you know, $59 for a digital camera and, you know, you drop it or there's a deal on some other camera or something, I mean, you could almost just go out and have multiple cameras. And I think that's probably what's happening with some folks.
Yeah. Well, the I've seen a lot lately of recommendations that people who maybe were thinking about buying a digital SLR should not do that. And I guess I'm not really sure what either advantages or disadvantages a digital SLR has over either a mirrorless or a really good quality point and shoot.
Right,
camera.
Right. Well, what really needs to happen is someone, instead of starting at the front end, the picture taking end, they really need to say, what am I going to do with my pictures? You know, how do I actually use those images? Because honestly, if they're shooting images that they're just going to throw up on the web on, you know, their Facebook page or something, just so they'll look nice on a screen, really just about any quality level of camera is going to be good enough for what they need to do there. But if, on the other hand, they're taking pictures and they maybe are going to want to get really high-resolution prints and blow them up to poster size, if they're shooting in difficult lighting conditions or in low-light conditions, then getting some of the more expensive cameras will pay off because they start to have a larger imaging sensor and you know, more sophisticated controls and you know, built-in features in the processing power of the camera.
Yeah. That's, I have a caller here I want to get to. Just one point again real quick, and this is something that you have said many times when we've been talking about this, is that people should be careful. Don't get carried away with megapixels. Because that's important. But the image sensor, that's
right.
The thing you want to think about.
And that's exactly what's happened in the market. I think the last time I was here, that's what we were talking about, that the megapixel count had gone up so high that it wasn't a selling point anymore. So they did go to marketing now, and the information's more readily available, the actual size of the imaging sensor. And that's where a lot of the progress has been made as far as greater variety.
Yeah, okay. I have been, myself, I've been kind of getting ready to take the plunge, and I've been looking at some cameras. Maybe I won't mention the brand, but it's a favorite of yours. And they have a number of very sophisticated, very compact cameras.
Yes.
And some on the higher ends, the prices are very comparable, but I guess as I would looking at it, one big difference is in the size of the image.
Exactly.
Sensor.
Exactly.
But then I also wonder, well, okay, if I can see, as you say, if you're going to do a lot of enlarging and make big prints, maybe it matters, but I'm not sure how much it does.
You know, or if you are the type where you want to crop in quite extensively into your image, so you shot something and, you know, look, there's an albino deer in the distance, you know. If you have the larger image sensor with a lot of megapixels, you can, you know, crop into that even if you couldn't have zoomed in or, you know, gone telephoto enough to capture it.
Yeah, okay. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. We've got a caller in Peoria. We'll talk with them. Line 4. Hello.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi.
You know, you were bringing up some good points there. I'm getting into the social media networking thing. I'm also going to go back to college to learn this, but I'm going to try and make commercials and do my own directing and script writing and all that. So I'm back into school again. I'm loving this. I'm going from the trades into doing this. Seems like it's a little bit more profitable. But I have a regular, an older digital camera, one of the bigger ones. It's probably about seven, eight years old. And my problem is I'm trying to learn how you go from, I'm on Facebook, but I'm trying to do the YouTube thing, and I think I've got a setup to where I could do, I don't have it live videos, I basically would do a half-hour shoot or an hour shoot and then put it up on a computer.
Right.
And then go from there. Now, there's I've heard all kinds of stories where you could do it live too, do setups like your own radio program on it, and you know such all that. But are you supposed to be able to do that? But if you do that, do you have to spend like thousands, tens of thousands of dollars for the equipment, or can you do it simply and a little bit cheaper than normal? Or
sure, sure. Well, you know, one thing that's really great now too is that not only for still photos, but in video, there have been quite a number of advances in combining still cameras and video cameras. In addition with that, there's a number of webcams that are out there, and there's been a lot of progress in that area too, where there are some cameras now that are high-definition web cameras. They have fairly decent noise canceling because with some of the cameras, if you're using the microphone that was built in, and if you had your speakers on so you could hear, if you're doing like a video conference, you'd get this kind of an echo going through the system, because as you spoke, it would go through the system and the other person on the other end would hear it. So you'd have a little bit of a loop like that. But there's been a lot of advancement in into the web cameras. So getting the web cameras, they're really not that expensive, some of them. I was just looking at some the other day, and there was a decent one that had pretty good ratings that was about $60. That was high definition. So I guess the thing is asking yourself, do you need to go live? Because
That was what I wanted to ask you, since you're in the social media. In fact, I was looking at driving over there, and I look at the curriculum at the school there to see what kind of an idea, because I want to go into the media aspect of it and hands-on working it.
Right.
I'm taking a class, and I'm kind of blindsided. I want to call myself computer dyslexic.
Sure.
I'm always bugging Dave on this show, so you know.
Well, you know, one of the other really cool things is with sites like YouTube, is that there are a lot of tutorial videos there. And I'm always amazed at the number of people that take the time to actually produce a video. And I, you know, I'll check in a second, but I bet on YouTube right now there's probably, you know, 10 or 20 different videos on how to do a live, you know, newscast or talk show or whatever. But again, you know, the question is, does it really need to be live? And probably for the most part, it doesn't need to be live. It doesn't mean you can't shoot it as if it were live. And then what you can do that gives you some ability to edit things and work on some of the audio levels and all of that later. So I would say you probably really don't need to do it live, and there's some real advantages to not doing it live. If you get a large enough audience at some point, doing it live might be an interesting aspect of it. But with the technology that's out there, I would say to, you know, either get a webcam or just get a regular, you know, you could even get a point-and-shoot camera that has video built in and record it. The biggest downfall for really all of the smaller, less expensive cameras that'll do video, that are still cameras that also do video, is that they don't have any way to plug in an external microphone. And honestly, the audio is probably the one area that hasn't advanced as far as we'd like it to. One thing that you can do is you can record your audio separately from the video, so you get high-quality audio that then you match up to your video later. Or you can get one of the cameras that's really more of a video camera, because most of those do have a microphone in, and you can record better quality audio and video there. But, yeah, I would say record it and then edit it. And then, again, once it goes up on YouTube, it's kind of there forever.
Thank you very much. Wealth of information as usual. Thanks.
All right, thank you. Yeah, I think maybe it's just because I'm an old radio guy, but one thing that really just rubs me the wrong way is video with really bad audio.
Oh, yeah, and it's all like that. Yeah, just horrible. You know, in because we give cameras to all the students in our class, we do have, when they're doing a video interview, They have a separate audio recorder with a lavalier mic, so they get the good audio. And it's interesting because sometimes the students say, well, the audio from the camera was pretty good. And I'm like, did you record, you know, with the other one? And they're like, yeah. So we listen to the two. And then when they hear the quality of the one that was recorded with the proper microphone, then they're like, oh, yeah. Because then they can really tell the difference between that kind of hollow room sound and the nicely recorded.
Yeah.
So
let me see. We have another caller here. We've got a couple emails. Maybe I'll try to do an email, and then we'll take some more questions for Brian. We have somebody here who's writing in and wants to know, do you have a recommendation for fast color negative 35-millimeter film for existing light sports photography?
Wow. The hardest thing is going to be finding film. I'm going to do a search on that because, you know, honestly, there were some great high-speed films. You know, that was, we actually called them, you know, magic films because they had an ISO of, you know, like 3200. And we're like, oh, my gosh. Well, now Canon's just came out with a camera where it will go to an ISO of 250,000.
It's like to take pictures in the dark.
Yeah, basically. I mean, you know, and that's it in its, you know, pushing mode. I mean, it'll actually go up to, you know, like 125,000 ISO. So, so I think finding film is really going to be the hard part. And then you're either going to process it yourself or find someone you trust that, you know, still doing professional quality processing.
Yeah. Well, that was also the caller was wondering, are there local labs, and in parens he puts Walgreens, so I don't know if they're what the alternatives are here, but local labs that push process color negative film.
Yeah, you know, there definitely are labs that'll do it. Normally your, you know, Walgreens type places won't, but definitely always look for a local lab because you like to have a relationship with a person so you, you know, can get to the point where you trust them and know that they're really professional in how they're running their lab. If there's not a local lab nearby, though, again, that's the beauty of the internet, is that it's fairly easy to find one. And then kind of talking about social media, not even just in the Facebook realm, but in the area of customer feedback, people's opinions, which you have to be careful as you're reading to see, you know, who's a shill really working for the company and putting in good ones and who's working for the other company putting in really bad ones, right, to knock their competition. But that combination really gives you an opportunity to find a great outlet that'll, you know, push process color negative film in this case. Mm. And check to see what, you know, their other customers are saying about their about the quality of their work.
Yeah. And Brian Johnson's here with us. He's a professor of journalism at the University of Illinois in the College of Media. He takes he's a photographer, has been a professional photographer, worked for our newspaper here, the News Gazette, and has been a teacher for quite a few years now. And every once in a while he's here, we talk about cameras and taking pictures. And we will talk some more in just a minute. We also want to talk at you about something different. This is one of those times that we sit down and hear in front of the microphones and say, look, this is public radio. It's a partnership. It involves you in two ways. One, you listen, but two, we hope you will also support the station. And now you can do that. And here in studio with me is Molly Delaney. She is our educational outreach director.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's not someone who you're going to hear on the air, but someone who, through her work with schools, is very important to what we do here at WYL. So I'm glad
to have you here. Thank you, David. And it's a pleasure to be here. You know, usually I'm listening, so I'm like their audience out there. But I got to tell you, both David and Brian are really working hard this morning to answer all of your questions. They are literally multitasking here in the studio, trying to get the information out to you. And I think that that just is a really good example of why I listen to this program, why I support this program, and why you should too. And as David said, we are here in the studio today, and we're asking for your support. And we'd like to hear from you at 217-244-9455. You know, we rely on our listeners. If you are a listener, maybe this is you've been listening for a while and you haven't pledged ever. And let me tell you, I was in that position a long, long time ago as a listener to NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. And then I still remember the moment when I was driving in the car listening to something that I said, oh, wow, I'm having another aha moment. And I just feel like that's what I would encourage people to do today. So if you're listening and you really value this information, you value having this access to knowledgeable people who are telling you about topics that are relevant to your life, get to that phone and make that call at 217-244-9455.
Yeah. Or if you like, I think more and more people are doing it online. You can do it that way, too. Go to willpledge.org, and that's very easy. We'll take a couple of minutes here, and we'll get you right back to the program. And well, and Brian will answer your question. I'm just playing Angry Birds. I'm really not doing anything. But he's the guy who's here with the information.
Angry Birds re-up.
Yeah, whatever the latest version is. I'm not playing Angry Birds. But he is here with his iPad, and he's prepared to answer questions. And this is a show, a kind of show that we've always done when we have someone who has some kind of expert knowledge. And then we say, okay, you got a question on that thing. We've done a lot of shows on health. We've done shows on family issues. We've done shows on what to do if your car's not working. Brian is here to talk about photography. Rich Warren was here yesterday, and we do audio video. And what we hope is, if you have a question, call. Ask the question. We'll see if we can help you out. We will want to try to make the show as useful as we possibly can in a practical way. And that's always been a big part of the program. So maybe if there are some folks who have actually benefited, you'll turn around and you'll kick a little something into the till here as we're raising the money to keep the program on the air.
We certainly hope so, because, you know, if not you, then who? I think that that's the way that we have to look at it these days, because 40% of our revenue comes from listeners and viewers, and they're critical to what we do. If this is the type of programming that you enjoy, it certainly is the type of programming I enjoy, then we need to hear from you today. And as David said, it's really easy to make that pledge online as well. That's how I made my pledge this morning before coming up. That had kind of a good feel to me. So I encourage all of you to do that. Whatever way is easiest, we make the process simple. We make the process painless. And it keeps this kind of programming on the air.
Okay. Hey, thanks very much. Well, we'll get back to questions here. We have somebody who is ready to go. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. You can just also send us a question by email. It's will-talk@illinois.edu. Did you have something you want to share?
In sort of a funny way, so I'm looking at, you know, high-speed films, and there's essentially two companies still, you know, Fuji Film and Kodak. Fuji also, they're still making a 1600 speed film. I actually was a real Fuji Film fan when I was shooting film. So yeah, they've got Fuji Color Superia 1600, and they also have Fuji Color Superia X 800. So there's some high speed films. Kodak has an 800 speed Portra film, and I'm do some looking and see if they have something more than that. So film is still out there. And but again, you know, it's, you know, that's a great example where the digital cameras have been able to work on their sensors so much that they can do much higher ISO with higher quality, actually, than we could do with film. Mm,
okay. Well, so let's talk with another caller here. In fact, we have a couple and have some emails, so we'll get back to the phones with Belgium. Line number one. Hello.
Good morning, sirs. I have a question that's a little bit off the topic here, but very germane. It has more to do with the images than actually taking the pictures or the equipment. Every time you see something on television or in print media and stuff, up in the corner they have a thing that says Getty Images. Now, I assume this is the Getty family, that is the rich Getty family that has the museum in California, Los Angeles, I think it is. And how do they get all these images so quick? It seems like as soon as something happens, they already own the images to it and of every possible thing you can think of. Can you tell me something more about
that? Yeah, sure. Well, the Getty is probably one of the largest archives of images. And they actually they hire some people, they, you know, pay freelancers, they have agreements with news agencies, you know, that's just their business. You know, they're one of their businesses, clearly, but it's actually an amazingly huge operation, you know, where they not only do they have current images, but they also have pretty tremendous archives of images as well.
It seems as though anything you see has their little bug on it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and that some of that, again, gets back to the ability to shoot the image digitally and transmit it. And, you know, back in the old days, you would actually have to, you know, take the image, process the film, make a print, put it on a drum scanner, and it would, you know, scan, and you'd do red and then green and then blue for the different filters that it would transmit in. Some of them would broadcast or transmit in cyan, yellow, and magenta. But that's it. You know, with the internet now, you can be really anywhere and transmit something back. Satellite phones have also gotten smaller and easier to use, and so a lot of the people that are in far-flung places have a satellite phone with them, so they can really, you can be connected almost anywhere in the world.
So these people collect these images and then sell their usage back to various media?
Right, exactly. That's exactly how that works.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Well, thank you. We'll go on here. Next caller is in Urbana, line 2. Hello.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question about lighting. A lot of the authorities a few years back really panned fluorescent lighting. I've seen statements to the effect that the best thing with fluorescent lighting is to turn it off. But the new daylight fluorescent, that seems to give pretty good color rendition.
Right, absolutely. Fluorescent has also really come on strong, but you're going to ask something else, I think.
Oh, yes. I was wondering about the flicker. Some of the authorities claim that you had to shoot it less than 1/32nd of a second.
You know, there can be some issues with fluorescent, and if you're shooting still images at a high shutter speed, but if you're doing, you know, portrait kinds of things, that's probably not going to be that much of an issue. The phosphors that are in the fluorescent tubes have seen kind of a real expansion. Some of it is with the energy efficiency of fluorescent. The manufacturers have certainly put quite a bit of money in that area. One other advantage for photography is that they're quite a bit cooler in actual physical temperature rather than an incandescent bulb. So so you actually do see quite a number of lighting kits now that come with fluorescent bulbs in them. And you're exactly right, you know, that they've done quite a bit with full spectrum bulbs and more of a daylight balance bulb. The other thing that's really coming on strong are light panels that have LED lights built in. And that's sort of the new hot lighting implement. So if you look at a network interview, I saw one just the other day where they had, you know, two big light panels illuminating the scene. So
that would give a very broad, I guess, soft
right.
lighting.
Yeah, and so what you'll do then is they have light modifiers, so you can put grids on the front of them to, you know, have it be a little bit more of a narrow beam. So the advantage is, though, again, thinking about portraits and interviews and things like that, usually you do want a little bit more of a soft light. But if you put, like, a grid on the front of them, you can have it be quite a bit more directional. So the other advantage of the LED lights is they dim really nicely. And then, in addition to dimming that, they're very, very efficient with energy. So if you're running them off of batteries, for instance, if you have it on location, they can last quite a bit.
The price is certainly coming down now.
Yeah, the price is coming down, but the LEDs still are expensive. And then that's the beauty of some of the fluorescent fixtures, is that the fluorescent tubes, even the ones that are full spectrum, don't cost as much as what you'd spend on an LED setup now.
Mm-hmm. Would it help to put some sort of diffusion screen in front of fluorescents?
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the beauties of fluorescents is that because they're not generating that intense heat, you can use just about anything. You know, you can even use, you know, a sheet hanging in front of the light to soften it. So that, again, is one of the huge advantages of fluorescent is because it's cool, you're not going to have your subject, you know, sweating, but you can also put diffusion material really close to it without worrying about it, you know, going up in flames.
I built an economy stand out of PVC pipe and using fluorescence, and I've been quite well satisfied with it.
Right. Yeah. I don't doubt that at all. I'm a real fan of kind of, you know, build it yourself, make it yourself. One of the things that I've done too is if you go to a home improvement store, they have the lighting fixtures, the work lights that have the little clamp thing on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you throw a decent fluorescent bulb in those and they've got the little clip on it. I mean, it makes it a pretty handy on the cheap lighting fixture for you to use.
Yes, I was using those with 200 equivalent watt. I think they're 40 watt.
Right.
Fluorescents.
That's a nice big bulb, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Because you think about the fluorescents and the spirals, but you know, I think you're asking some really excellent questions though, because it isn't just about the total quantity of light, but it's about the quality of the light. You know, how do you control it? Do we want a soft light for this? Do we want a more contrasty light to add a little bit more drama? You know, how about the color temperature of that light and how does it match our surrounding areas? So I think so often people get really hung up on getting really expensive, nice equipment. And so often what they could do instead is say, well, what do I really need? And you can kind of go the do-it-yourself route, produce something pretty nice. Now, on the flip side, when I'm checking out lighting kits to my students, I know that it can't be something flimsy that is going to fall apart that I might use myself if I can, you know, take care of it properly. But for the students, I need something that'll go up really simply, that'll be robust and it'll last. So, again, I think with so many things, you need to look at the end that you want to produce, what you want to have in the end, and then work your way back from there.
Would fluorescent work with close-up photography? I'm thinking of reversing a lens in front of a longer lens.
Sure. You know, as you mentioned with the fluorescent bulb, so you got the 200-watt equivalent, and that's a fairly large bulb. Some of the fluorescent lighting kits that are for sale, they have sockets for, you know, 3 or 4 or 6 fluorescent bulbs in them just to get that quantity of light up to mm-hmm. where they want it. So, again, you know, that might be, you know, if it's dependent upon what kind of close-up photography it is, if you can control the situation, you know, then heck, maybe some of those work lights would be a good thing because you could really have several of them and light the scene in a pretty efficient way.
Most of my photography is botanical.
Yeah, so fluorescent would be great there because assuming, again, you get a decent bulb that's, you know, fairly full spectrum, but then since the fluorescents are putting out as much heat as an incandescent, it would be good as you're trying to shoot things.
Well, thank you. You're always a great deal of help.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Glad we could help.
Thanks for the call. We'll take some more calls for Brian Johnson talking this morning about photography after a short break. This is Focus.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Subaru of Champaign County, now on Route 45 in Savoy. At Subaru's assembly plant in Lafayette, Indiana, a zero landfill status is designed to save cost and our future. It's part of what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Information online at SubaruofChampaign.com or 352-4700.
This is Focus, our morning talk program. My name's David Inge. Glad to have you with us. We're here weekday mornings 10 until noon. In the second hour today, we will be talking about what is new in the way of children's books. Maybe you're thinking about a book for a child in your life and you're looking for a suggestion. We'll have two guests. Both of them work at the Center for Children's Books here based at the University of Illinois. Kate Queeley Gaynor and Deb Stevenson. Also, tomorrow morning, one of our regulars will be here, David Sinnoh. He's clinical professor of finance in the College of Business, and monthly we do a show on personal finance. And the idea, again, there is if you have a particular question about your own financial strategies, this is a show you can call in, you can ask the question. Dave always does his best to help out. We always, of course, tell people don't do something just because he says to do it. But this is should be part of your can be part of your informational toolkit. And we do a lot of shows like this that are about helping with basic problems in addition to the other kinds of things that we do. People have told us over the years they really appreciate these kinds of shows. And what we're now asking is that if you're not a financial supporter of the station, that you would do that. Lots of people have, and we're grateful to them, and we should say thanks. But to all of the other people who are listening, no matter how long it's been, if you're not a supporter, well, now's the time that you could change that by giving us a call. Here in studio with me is Molly Delaney. She's our educational outreach director and does a lot of work with schools in our area.
I do, David, I do. And I'm just struck by what that last caller said as he was hanging up about you're always such a great deal of help. And I think that that's very true. You know, if you're out there listening this morning and you're finding this conversation as interesting as I am, as a matter of fact, I'm thinking, do I have time to stop at Menard sometime this week and get some of those clip-on lights for those holiday photos I'm going to try to take that I always get so frustrated with? So for me, the show is particularly helpful. And if you're finding this program to be helpful, or you found this program over time, this isn't the only topic that focuses on, or that David has interviewed people around. So if you are supporting this program and you're listening and you're enjoying it, we want to hear from you this morning at 217-244-9455.
Yeah, you'll make it possible for us to make our fundraising goal for the year. We're about halfway to the end of our fiscal year. And the way that we do it here is we raise money in one year that will be spent in the next. And we try pretty carefully to figure out what it is that we're going to need for the next year. And then we set goals as we go along all through the year. And we really try to keep up with that goal so that by the time we get to the end, we can say, hey, we've done it and we're ready to go. So we have a big goal for the month of December, and it's a reachable goal. I think we all feel that it is, if people who think the station is important are willing to pitch in and pitch in their bit.
Exactly. And, you know, I always am surprised at how supportive our viewers and our listeners are. But David was saying, this is the time of year that we're asking for support, and we do make program decisions, and we're always kind of in a panic. How's it going? Is it going well? We need to hear from you at 217-244-9455.
All right. Hey, thanks very much. We'll get back to some questions here and some emails for Brian Johnson. He's professor of journalism at University of Illinois in the College of Media, and every once in a while he's here. We talk about taking pictures and cameras and always get lots and lots of questions. He's been a photographer for a long time. And so whether you're still working with film or you're working with digital, you have questions one way or another, give us a call. I do have an email here I want to get in, and we'll get back to the phones here. Someone wants to know, is it possible to arrange for digital photographs to be numbered consecutively across different memory cards? And he writes, I asked this because when I tried to save photos from different memory cards to an external hard drive, I find quite a few duplicate file names.
Right.
Obviously, confusion I would like to avoid.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. One of the it's fairly easy to do this if you're using the same camera for all of the images, because within the menu structure of the camera, normally under there'll be like a tools area. you can set up how you want the camera to handle the file structure, so that it'll always, you know, it will go sequentially and it won't, you know, duplicate things. Or, you know, maybe you're the type where, I don't know, you're shooting, images at different schools, and so you want, you know, school A to have, you know, 1 through 500 and school B to have 1 through 500. But that's something that you usually can set up in the menu structure of the camera.
All right. Also, one other question here from this person who's listening. What is the appropriate resolution to use for quote-unquote routine photos? And by that, he's saying if you're interested in making prints that will be no larger than, say, 5x7 or 8x10.
Yeah, my answer to that, if he's thinking about making, he or she's thinking about making prints at all, I would shoot at the highest resolution that the camera's able to shoot at. So, because that way, maybe you get that one shot where you're like, I love this picture. I want to print it, you know, 30 by 40. Well, if you shot everything thinking, you know, oh, I'm only going to do an 8 by 10, you're not going to have the resolution. Memory cards have become so inexpensive now, so inexpensive. I bought a 32 gigabyte card for $50 or something ridiculous like that. I mean, the prices have dropped so far that there's no reason to skimp on it. Now, hard drive prices have been coming down too. Now, just to show you what kind of global economy we're in, with the flooding in Asia recently, that impacted a lot of the hard drive manufacturers. Mm-hmm. And so it's been very difficult to get particularly 2 terabyte hard drives. So the prices of hard drives has gone up a little bit recently. But even so, same thing. I bought a 1.5 terabyte drive on sale for $90. You know, 1.5 terabytes, that's an incredible amount. So, again, there's no real reason not to shoot at the highest resolution if you're thinking about, you know, making prints.
Okay. Hope that helps. Let's go to the phones for another caller here, Urbana, line one. Hello.
Hello. This is kind of jumping back to old technology. Recently, a fellow asked the question of where can you go and get 2x2 slides scanned.
Uh-huh.
And I have access to an old Nikon scanner with ICE and that sort of stuff, but not everybody does. And I was just kind of wondering if there's people around town that do that or on the web. And then also, I understand that the Nikon is no longer being produced, and I was kind of wondering what happens if you have a ton of old slides and want to scan them.
Friend
of mine's got an Epson scanner that can do that, but I've never been overly impressed with what the flatbed scanners can do for slides.
Right, exactly. Those are really some excellent questions. Let's, look at scanning. So there are, in Champaign-Urbana, there are a couple places that will take in your images, slides and negatives, and scan them in. A lot of times they'll have kind of different quality levels where it's like, do you want to just, you know, give us 100 and we'll scan them through really quickly and just so you have them, or do you want high quality scans at a high resolution? So you do have some choice like that. There are also a number of places, as you might imagine, that are around the country and even around the world, not that you'd want to send your images there, far across the sea. But there are a number of places that will scan, negatives and slides. There, again, is a range of quality from, how much you want to pay, how much quality do you need with this image? Are you looking to have your entire library of, 10,000 images scanned in? Well, you probably don't want to pay $10 a piece to have those scanned in. You probably want the economy setting. Getting to the film scanner area, you're exactly right. That flatbed scanners in general aren't really the best choice for scanning in negatives or slides, even though some of them have a transparency unit on top. So you can do that. it's quite limited now as far as what kind of scanners are out there. There's only really a couple companies that are producing scanners. There's a fair number of them that are at the inexpensive range, you know, $50, $100. There's, in this more economical range, there's up to maybe $2,000 for one that'll not only scan 35 millimeter, but also medium format film. So you can get a fairly decent, you know, slide or negative scanner, or slide and negative scanner for, you know, a couple hundred dollars. You can also, if you want to, spend, you know, quite a bit of money, you know, $10,000, $12,000, $15,000, and buy a Hasselblad scanner that's out there. That's really quite nice, beautiful. It looks nice too. I'm sure it looked, you know, beautiful on your desk. You just need the money. So the answer is yes. There's a whole range. I think finding a place locally is always a great first option because, again, not only can you build a relationship with them, you can talk about, you know, what you're looking for, but you're also not having to send all of your images through either UPS, FedEx, or through the mail.
Well, I guess I know you don't really want to give free advertising to people. Is how does one go about finding this without just, locally, without just kind of systematically sitting down and calling everybody listed in the Yellow Pages under photography?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because actually I think there, I'm doing a search right now, see if I can, find something. But there are actually, you know, what you can do is look up, slide scanning or film scanning. And that way it's not every photo place, but just, particular places.
All right. Well, I'll pursue that.
Yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. Good.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Before we run out of time, I have another email here I want to get in. Someone wants to know, have you had any experience or opinions on light field cameras? Which apparently, I don't know, the person explains, these are cameras actually you focus after you take the picture?
Yeah, these are really, it's freaky, really, because what it does is when it shoots the image, it captures kind of the full depth of the image, so you can select a focus point on your computer screen after you shoot it. And it's really amazing, you know. And I think they're one of the companies that has images like this, has equipment like this. I think for $300 or $400, you can buy one of their kind of point and shoot cameras. But yeah, it's the kind of thing that boggles your mind that you would have never thought that you could shoot a picture and then be able to focus selectively on any part of it later.
Mm-hmm. I think it was Rich was talking yesterday about cameras now, and I think we have talked about cameras that will shoot in RAW mode.
Right.
But there's, something that's even beyond RAW mode in the sense that it registers everything digitally but doesn't make an image out of it. It's just all zeros and ones.
Right. And that is a form of RAW, basically. You know, what it's doing is it's not doing any processing of the image whatsoever. That it's just taking in all of that data and letting you manipulate it later. So you don't have to set white balance. You know, you don't have to set your ISO necessarily. Mm-hmm. So Lytro, LYTRO, is the company I was looking at. You can pre-order the graphite or electric blue colors for $399, which will give you 350 pictures, or you can buy the red hot camera that'll give you 750, and it's $499. But it almost looks like those old sort of slide viewers, the sort of cube, sort of things.
Uh-huh. And does this have? Oh yeah, look. Oh yes, yes.
You see what I mean?
I do see what you mean. And what? We're almost to the point where we're going to have to finish. So, what sort of advantage does that give you? Just more flexibility in what the picture turns out to be?
Yeah. I mean, some of it clearly is a gimmick, I think, yeah. But I don't know. I mean, with all these new technologies, a lot of times you don't know what's really cool about it until a whole bunch of people start using them. You know, even to the point, something I was going to mention today that I'll just mention really quickly. So for the digital phones, right, that are out there, there are a lot of applications you can buy that modify your image. So some will make things look like it was, if you shoot a landscape, it'll look like a miniature setup. You can shoot some so it looks like it was shot with a, you know, inexpensive, you know, plastic lensed camera. Well, I just saw an app yesterday that, and this is completely goofy to me, but you have to shoot the equivalent of a full roll of pictures before it'll let you look at any of them. So even though you have a digital camera, it's sort of like...
It's like recapturing what it used to be.
No, that's exactly what it is. That's what they're saying. And I'm thinking, okay, this is goofy. But you know what? I mean, I thought Twitter was really goofy when it first came out, and it's, you know...
I still think that it is.
Well, it is. But there are some, or if you have the right need, it fills that need. Okay. And that's how things are going. I mean...
There's so much more... Will you come back soon?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Brian
Johnson.
I love
being here.
He's professor of journalism at the U of I. From time to time, he's here. We take questions about picture taking and photography. We'll get in just a second with our market update. Do we have some underwriting that we needed to hear? Let's do that first.